Cruise is one of these guys. So we should see what he said. My college buddy's a Teddy Cruz supporter. Subtitle, knowing when to change the topic. So it's like, there's no way Russ Smith would be a supporter of Ted Cruz. But he's shocked that his college friend is. He says, some background on a long, now this is what Russ often talks about people in his past. Interesting, sentimental, going back memory lane. Some background on a longtime friend I'll call Eddie, on the off chance he'd be embarrassed by the following. We met almost 41 years ago in September of 1974 when he came to Baltimore as a Johns Hopkins University freshman. I was reading the New York Times alone on a quad bench when Eddie approached me as if we'd known each other for years and asked, quote, so what are your thoughts on Leon Redbone, unquote. I thought, this cat's on the oddball side. And then replied that, yes, Redbone, who hadn't yet released his first album but was starting to get noticed, Redbone was cool, and that I hoped he'd become a big star. Eddie bobbed his head up and down, barely able to contain his excitement, and proceeded with a monologue about Leon, Charlie Parker, the Honeymooners, Jelly Roll Morton, Arthur Rimbaud, who was a French symbolist poet, 19th century, and his brilliance over David Bowie's sudden fame. No, and his ambivalence over David Bowie's sudden fame. It was an extraordinarily entertaining half hour, and although I was a sophomore and lived off campus, we hung out on occasion, and he later went on to contribute strange but hilarious shorts to the Hopkins newsletter, where all the time I was features editor. That would be before Russ started the Baltimore paper, or maybe it was a Washington paper, which he sold and went on to made some a lot of money. Then he went and created the New York Press in New York. He did that for, I don't know, 12 years. Then 9/11 happened, and within a year he quit New York and moved back to Baltimore, worried that there'd be more terrorism and didn't want his kids to be affected. So back to the article. Eddie had no interest in politics or sports, and as a math engineering student was often lost in his own thoughts, talking to himself as he wandered around campus. Where his infectious eccentricity came from is anybody's guess. I met his folks, and they were hospitable, straight arrow Connecticut suburbanites. If he possessed just a modicum of entrepreneurial drive, I'm betting he might have been one of those starting in a garage multimillionaires today, since he was writing 1970s code at the school's computer lab, a building I never entered. I had a lot of pals during my college years, those fleeting four-year friendships that usually vanish upon graduation. But Eddie and I kept in touch, writing letters and making sporadic visits to our respective cities. When my son Nicky was born in 1992, his first reaction was, quote, wow, he shares the same birthday as Rambo. So this Eddie thought the son was cool when he was born in 92 because he shared the same birthday as Arthur Rambo. 19th century symbolist. Eddie's computer skills landed him various jobs at prestigious U.S. universities and then employment abroad, Tel Aviv for a spell, and now Japan, where he's lived for the better part of two decades. He studies languages, stays up for days translating obscure 18th century Japanese texts, and here's where we enter really weird territory, has, since the election of Obama, become a birther, truther, wingnut, or whatever word you want to use to describe a fringe right-winger. In other words, he got into conspiracy stuff. He'd email me, along with four or five other people, about what he perceived as the dangerous path Obama was leading America down. And at first, it was fairly mild stuff. I was no fan of Obamacare either. Last week, Eddie went kablooey, although I hadn't heard from him in a year. So who knows when he slipped off the ideological cliff. He wrote to inform me that Hillary Clinton was ineligible to run for president, a notion so daft I didn't open the link he attached. Clinton's a me-first phony populist, but ineligible to run? I shrugged that off and asked what Republican candidate he'd prefer for next year's election, noting that Marco Rubio or Scott Walker, despite various failings, would be okay by me. You know, centrists and left-wingers hate Scott Walker, hate Marco Rubio. Here's Russ, doesn't mind going with those right-wingers. I also wrote that I had no time for moral scolds like Ted Cruz or Mike Huckabee, let alone Rick Santorum. So Mugger doesn't dig moralists. Right-winger kind of thing. It's like Mugger is just totally approves of the financial meaning of Reagan. So I said, I had no time for these idiots, and he doesn't say idiots, for moral scolds like Cruz, Huckabee, and Rick Santorum, and laid out my own philosophy. Here it is. A flat tax, an attentive foreign policy, privatization of Amtrak and the U.S. Postal Service, complete overhaul of the broken immigration apparatus, in brackets, meaning making it easier for non-criminal residents of other countries to live and work in America. Complete overhaul of the broken immigration apparatus, meaning I guess it's broken when it makes it easier for non-criminal residents of other countries to live and work in America. I don't know about that. Oh, okay. So he's saying overhaul the broken immigration apparatus so it makes it easier for non-criminal residents of other countries to live and work in America. Also, he's for the federal legalization of all drugs, gambling, and prostitution. That was abbreviated. He wrote this to all that to Eddie. That was abbreviated, but Eddie got the gist. And how? He replied, quote, I'm for Ted Cruz because he's a nativist. Moral scold coming from you is a compliment. No offense, but you're the guy who thinks Rudy Giuliani was anti-free speech because he banned the piss Christ asshole. Russ Smith, you marinated in New York City for too long. I really think you've lost your marbles. Immigration is not great for the economy. Where did you come up with that? This immigration thing is all about getting a permanent Democratic majority. Why do you think the Kenyan is so gung-ho about bringing in illegals? That's Obama. If he can get all the wetbacks to the polls, the Republicans will never win another presidential election for the next 50 years. Do you really not see that? Do you really not see that? Correct immigration policy at a minimum is to bar anyone who isn't likely to vote Republican. That's the policy now, he's saying. No, it's not. He wants that to happen. Correct immigration would be to bar anyone who isn't likely to vote Republican. And they should favor white Europeans unless they're socialists, which many of them are. No welfare types. Immigration is the fundamental problem. It's the reason we don't have President Romney today. Once the scum can outvote you, it's over. Once the scum can outvote you, it's over. So he ends the letter with that. So then Russ Smith says, there was a lot more venomous barbs at the squishy Rubio and Walker. Cheers for Donald Trump and Ann Coulter. But you've read it all before. Anyway, I've had my fill of Eddie for the time being, and hope the next time he corresponds, it'll be a lengthy appreciation of Billie Holiday. All right? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, there's some responses. Okay, this could be interesting. Sue Beck again. Maybe Eddie's trying to fill the vacancy in Japan left by Bobby Fischer. That would be Bobby Fischer, the eccentric chess player. Bill Franklin says, that's a shame about you and your friend, but these things happened. Good thing he lives overseas. Ted Cruz scares the living daylights out of me, not only for his rhetoric, but because he looks just like Joe McCarthy. Yeah, he kind of does. D.T. May writes, that's a damn shame. If nothing else, his tone was no way to address a friend. Now, Richard Aubrey, the guy who disagreed with Alan Cabal, says, Russ, that graph you referred to coming from your old friend, do you have any empirical data on why he's wrong? Does immigration increase the lower end of low-skill wages? Do the Dems not count on immigrant votes? You put out a number of facts which are generally uncontested, as if Because you say so, they're ridiculous. These facts are in a category which is called FNC facts. Since they're true and they're inconvenient, you pretend they're ridiculous. Quote, you got those from faux news, yuck, 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 because you can't actually address them. What makes you think anybody buys this? Jeez, where have you been? Was that easy to follow? I don't think so. Anybody follow that?
No.
Did I unmute you guys and forgot to re-mute you? Well, great. You guys were quiet. That was dangerous. I'll mute you.
All participants are now muted.
Richard Aubrey says, Russ, you said nothing about Fox. True, but not the point. As Fox, oh, wait a minute. Okay, so Richard Aubrey, you know, ridicules Russ Smith. Russ Smith says, I said nothing about Fox. Immigration has traditionally helped the U.S. economy, and though I certainly won't support Clinton, I'm not concerned about a tipping of new immigrants to Democrats. Immigration has kept this country strong. That's where I've been. Richard responds, Russ, you said nothing about Fox. True, but not the point. The presumption you presumed everybody would presume when you listed your buddy's points is that they are ridiculous on their face and didn't even need to be addressed. That's FNC category. Or, quote, you got your Limbaugh talking points, snicker. You got your Rush Limbaugh talking points, snicker, unquote. It's also called pre-discrediting, so that they need not be addressed. Immigration is a good thing when regulated and kept reasonable, and the goal is assimilation. Not La Raza, guess that's a writer, or keeping kids from wearing American flags to school for fear of annoying Hispanics. What you think or want somebody else to think about the Dems not wanting Latino votes is irrelevant. Do you think the benefits population votes their benefits? Do you think the benefits population votes their benefits or something else? But anyway, does immigration of poorly educated, barely English-speaking workers increase low-end wages, decrease them, or have an effect, or have no effect? So he says, but anyway, previous sentence, do you think the benefits population votes their benefits, or something, what's that? Do you think the benefits population votes their benefits or something else? But anyway, does immigration of poorly educated, barely English-speaking workers increase low-end wages, decrease them, or have no effect? Why is the Chamber of Commerce for immigration if it were going to raise wages? Surrounding what Eddie said with a sneered superiority, expecting your readers to go along with it, without actually dealing with this point, is old. Read that again. Surrounding what Eddie said with a sneered superiority, expecting your readers to go along with it, without actually dealing with this point, is odd. Subek, if someone says Hillary is ineligible to run for president, there's no longer any obligation to entertain their political opinions. You can just move on. It really simplifies things. Subic also says, I must have missed it when American kids were wearing American flags at school but had to stop due to Hispanic pressure. Was this on Fox? I think what Abby Hoffman's saying is, so they had these kids wearing these jackets, anti-American stuff, to school. Then you get Hispanic pressure. Sourpuss writes, Jesus, enough of this bullshit. Vote for Bernie Sanders. Alan Cabal says, the ban on American flag garments took place in San Jose, California a couple years ago on Cinco de Mayo. Richard Aubrey writes back, Alan, you know it, I know it. Subek knows it. But he figured if he mentioned Fox, it would go away. As I said elsewhere, certain facts are FNC facts. They're true. They're inconvenient. So you sneer, quote, you got that from Fox, unquote, to make them go away. Subek must have thought he was talking to the usual lofos. L-O-F-O-S. Richard Aubrey says, the school principal said two things by implication. One, the Hispanic students are violent and uncontrollable. Two, he'd get in a hell of a lot more trouble trying to control them than the American students. The school principal said two things by implication. The Hispanic students are violent and uncontrollable. He'd get in a hell of a lot more trouble trying to control the Spanish-American, Hispanic people than the American students. I don't know what that's about. Is he not in the United States? Subek, I see no reason why children should be wearing American flag garments to school, whatever such a garment might be. Flag pants? I don't recall any such fashion during my entire K-12 experience, and that's a good thing. This is pretty much a non-issue, and about as serious as the new war on Christmas that all the lofos rail about. Alan Cabal says, I seem to recall that it's illegal to wear the flag as a garment. Richard responds, he writes, it's the guy disagreeing with Alan all the way through. It's illegal to wear the flag as a garment. However, flag-themed garments and depictions of flags on garments are legal. Matter of fact, since you can burn a flag, I suppose the same rights apply to wearing it. Anyway, Subek gives us a fashion report to distract from the fact that something we know we're not supposed to know. Try something else. Point is, however, that whatever subs fashion sense. The flag stuff was banned due to potential violence from the Hispanic students. Supreme Court's upheld the ban. Due to the uncontrollable violence of the Hispanic students, if a garment has the potential to disrupt the school environment, also known as make Hispanic students violent, the school may ban it. Principal goes back to Does this mean his bureaucratic principle? Okay, so we got here, what happened there? Did I phase out? Anybody there? Did I not finish the letter? Yeah, it doesn't look like I finished it. Where is everybody? Let me see, are they all muted? Oh yeah, I muted everybody, sorry. Okay. Let me finish the letters then. Richard Aubrey. So does somebody say something before that? C.T. May says, I guess this page is where all the lonely patriots come on July 4th. Subek says, I wonder what you are suggesting with that rainbow flag comment. Then Richard Aubrey, sub. For your information, the accusation of homophobia is as dead and worn out as the accusation of racism. But since you seem unable to grasp the point, I'll put it this way. You initially tried to fox your way out of the flag banning. When that didn't work, you gave us a who cares on student clothing. Then it was a non-issue. All of which because you got busted on the fact, you tried to pretend it hadn't happened in the first place. And were trying to weasel your way out. Read that again. Then it was a non-issue, the flag burning. All of which because you got busted on the fact, that fact is you tried to pretend it hadn't happened in the first place and were trying to weasel your way out. The point about the rainbow flag is to suggest your concern about flag banning tracks with the flag being banned. U.S. flag, meh, rainbow flag, outrage. We get it. But anyway, the appeal to Fox didn't work. Never does, but some folks don't learn. And then four short ones. Richard Aubrey addresses CTMA. I guess this is where the lonely above-it-all types leave their world-weary stuff on Independence Day. CTMA says, never saw you, Richard, as being above it all. Subek says, I haven't accused anyone of homophobia. Just thought your gratuitous mention of the rainbow flag was odd. Two, the only actual point I tried to make here was that when someone says Hillary is ineligible to run, you can safely ignore any other opinion they might offer. The rest was just trying to get a rise out of you, which is about as hard as catching a perch in Saranac Lake. You sure do go on and on and on. You sure do go on and on and on, says Subek. Subek sounds well-educated, lots of materials. You get what I'm saying there? Getting it? Okay, so we got here, we read that. Richard Aubrey says, CT, we did that. Richard Aubrey ends by saying, sub, the rainbow flag is getting a lot of ink just now, which is why I picked it over, say, she-t shirts. The rainbow flag is getting a lot of ink just now, which is why I picked it over, say, Shay t-shirts. Che Guevara, I'm certain your response would be the same. American flag, meh. Uncontrolled violence, meh. Shay t-shirt, outrage. But it was a good example of the Fox attempt at discrediting information you find both valid and inconvenient. Didn't work, never does. Okay.
All participants are now unmuted.
Buddy, you guys can all talk.
What does that mean? The rainbow flag is getting a lot of ink just now. Does that mean a lot of people are writing about it?
I guess. And the rainbow flag is, you know, a multicultural situation.
The rainbow flag is the gay flag.
The gay flag? I didn't know that.
I thought it's the.
I thought it's what, you know, Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition, you know, have all colors and types. Okay, I'm going to Google that. Rainbow flag. Rainbow flag, what?
What about it?
Let's see what comes up. I see rainbow flag, LGBT movement, the commonly known as the gay pride flag. An LGBT pride flag is a symbol of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender pride. The colors reflect the diversity of the LGBT community, and the flag is often used as a symbol of gay pride and LGBT rights marches. It originated in Northern California, but is now used worldwide. Okay, so I didn't know that. I thought the rainbow thing referred to Jesse Jackson's theme. There's also a hippie Woodstock that's called the Rainbow Something. Anyway, so you're saying the rainbow flag is getting a lot of ink just now, which is why I picked it over, Shay T-shirt. You know, I'm certain your response would be the same. American flag, knit, uncontrolled violence, knit, JA t-shirt, outrage. But it was a good example of the Fox attempt at discrediting information you find both valid and inconvenient.
It's excess alcohol consumption, it's sleep deprivation, all of these things. This can have tunnel vision. And
what's that sound? Where's that coming from? That's coming from the 908-445 number in New Jersey, who this person won't speak. And that's her background. What is that background? Is that a workstation?
You know, it sounds like the TV.
Oh, yeah, it's a TV, but I'm wondering where would one be looking at that? Is that the airport TV? Some building store in New York? Hey, she's trying to speak, or he. 908-445, do you want to speak? Come on. You got a little bit of sound coming out. Okay, so I was going to play something else, wasn't I? Didn't I have something else? Hey, you guys going to start talking. Make up any shit. I've been talking too long. So go. Not going to say anything?
Who's there? Speak.
Well, you speak, Liza.
Well, can I do a head count? I want to know who's on the line. Bert, are you there?
Well, then the names are Jean and Sean in England. Sarah or Michael is there. Linda Gennardi is here. What's her name? Ngoi Chan, the person in Brooklyn. What do we call her? Forget her name. Doris, that's Kim. Kim. So, they're either falling asleep or they're very rude.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Eliza.
That's Jean.
Good morning.
What the hell, Jean?
That's Jean.
What the hell?
What ridiculous issues are you concerned about today, Jean?
I just got on the line. I was going to see what you guys were going to go to next. And
how come you aren't listening earlier, you know, 10 hours ago? Why aren't you listening?
Well, last night I was listening. I was listening, and then the streaming went out online. So then I figured out how to use SIP, and I was able to call in through SIP on the Internet.
Right.
I'm renting a lake cabin, and I've had some issues. So now I can call long distance for 14 cents a minute, but I'm not going to stay on all night.
You can call long distance for what?
14 cents a minute out here in the country.
Right.
But I figured out SIP because I couldn't hear it online last night, which is in Bill's instructions. SIP is another way to call in. Apparently it's not Skype. So I'm working on that, and then I have to get me a good set of headphones. I'll be back, Bob.
So you're going to tell people how to do SIP?
Yeah, give me another week to figure it out, and I can explain a little more about it.
Well, maybe Bill could tell you, could hear, listen, and tell us.
Yeah, well...
right, Bill?
I had to find a different... On his list of local call-in numbers and instructions for SIP, he's got some links for different kinds of phone apps, SIP phone apps they're called.
Right.
But I found a different one for a Mac. Most of the ones on his list seem to be Windows. But let me learn more about it, and maybe Bill and I can talk about it. because I think it's free.
Okay.
And how's my reception sound?
Beg your pardon?
How does my reception sound?
The reception is good, but it's still very low.
But it's not real low. We can make out what you're saying.
Good. That's probably because of the phone I'm using. I got to get me. So what's the current recommendation on the best headsets? Eliza, you are clear as a bell now. Remember years back? You had such...
Well, yeah. I tried everything under the sun, and I finally I got a house line to call in, and I only use my house phone for payday. Everything else, because no one else had issues when I was speaking through my regular cell, so everyone heard me fine. They didn't know what I was talking about when I would ask them if they could hear me clearly, if I needed to speak up, or if I needed to move the little mouthpiece of the phone away from my mouth, and they were like, no, we hear you fine. So, but I know that Ian helped me get the house line. The way things just fell into place was, you know, good. It worked out, so I got a house line.
Yeah, that's...
And why is that clear?
Well, house lines, I don't know, maybe because cell phones, even though I did try many different headphones for my cell phone, maybe the cell phone that I was using, it was very sensitive. So even if I was holding the phone as far away from me as I could and have the little mic of the headset, you know how there's a little mic piece? Speaker piece hanging on the headset, I had that covered with a stocking, and still my voice would come out muffled. So I don't know if it was, you know, too sensitive and just too good, I guess. And the house line isn't like that. The house phone, it's a, you know, Panasonic phone. I hold it at a good distance, at a normal distance from my mouth, and it's fine. Well, house lines are also known to be better than regular cell phones just because of the lines. They're more stable.
Right. You know, I should play something. Through the Evergreens, I did a symposium with Dr. Beter, Marshall McLuhan, Jiddu Krishnamurti, Marcel Duchamp, and President Eisenhower. Eisenhower came in on his own. You think that'd be worth listening to? I don't think I played
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I don't think I played that on BobFest. That doesn't sound familiar, right?
No. No, you did not play anything with President Eisenhower on the recording.
Or
right.
Krishnamurti.
Yeah, you know who that is, Jiddu Krishnamurti, Marcel Duchamp, the famous artist, and McLuhan, and Dr. Beter.
Bob,
it's like a panel.
Was this before or after in your diary you have a note when you all went to, it sounded like you all met Krishnamurti in a bar and wasn't...
No, that's 1967.
There.
Yeah, that's 1967. Okay. This is 20 years ago, 1995.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty good, I interview each one of them, and then they all start talking and sort of arguing.
Now,
that sounds pretty good, eh?
What do you mean President Eisenhower came in?
Well, I did Beter, McLuhan, Krishnamurti, and Duchamp, and then the Evergreens say, there's another person who wants to get in here. It turned out to be President Eisenhower. He wanted to explain his famous quote about beware the military-industrial complex. You know, everybody quotes that now.
Yeah.
He did that in his final days of his final term. So he wanted to explain that, what he meant. So that was pretty neat. he knew that Bob's archives would become, you know, legendary for the next 1,000 years, and he wanted to, he said, fuck, if I get in a Bob recording, I'll make history. I'll be heard for many thousands of years. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, we should play that, right? That'll fill up some time.
Yes.
I can see the headline now. In the future. Something about 40 years after Eisenhower's famous quote, he explains, gives more detail behind it.
Yeah.
So, in the future, when we all acknowledge, when ION creates headlines in the media,
what?
By the information he shares. I'm envisioning.
Yeah,
in
when
the future,
I make.
Yeah, in whatever future, if there's still a media left.
Make a clear statement. I don't know what you're saying. Just make a clear statement.
All right, statement. Never mind. I'm just dreaming.
No, don't fucking cop out. What the hell?
I'm thinking in the future, when this concept of non-physical communication is obsoleted, so that the headline, so it is revealed that Eisenhower spoke through non-physical, 40 years after he made that famous quote?
Right.
And provided more detail behind the quote. So the headline would read something about, I don't know, what would you call it? Non-physical Eisenhower shares more about his quote in 50s?
Right. You're just saying what the headline would be.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Okay, so what?
Oh,
yeah, there will be a headline. No, come on.
Yeah.
There'll be a headline. Isn't that going to be rather odd, that non-physical? No, because it'll be lockdown Bob Rule. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
That's a significant part.
Yeah. When the concept of non-physical communication is so, the awareness is there, it becomes obsolete, right, Bob? So then here comes everybody, and it's all over the media, and everybody is talking to non-physical. And... So,
okay, so
story.
So what's now? What's that got to do with Eisenhower?
So I'm imagining this morning we're hearing what Eisenhower sharing more detail about that speech he made before he left the presidency, right? And we're going to hear more detail from Eisenhower through ION.
Yeah.
Because you recorded it.
Yeah.
Now... 20 years from now, is that going to be a big story in the, you know, a major headline of in USA Today 20 years from now? That Eisenhower. Yeah. Are you sure you want to continue with this? This could be just...
Well, what's stupid is why can't you make a fucking point? What's wrong with you? You got a missing part of your brain? Like, what are you trying to say? I'm talking about this, and you're trying to say something about when ION's obsolete.
It was just a... It
this
was
is a good example. There's
head.
Something
I
wrong with your brain, Gene. You can't remember. You don't know. You've lost your sense of what the fuck is important about living. You can't remember, in logic, what your point is. I think ION has totally ruined your left hemisphere functioning.
Do you think it was ION?
Yeah, too much right hemisphere.
It's morning.
Like
it's
what?
Morning,
like what?
And
Eisenhower. Look, Gene. I'm saying that the Eisenhower knew this would be famous, and he wanted to be on the record. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes. And then I'm thinking.
Well, see, there's the point. You can't fucking agree with anybody. So you got to create a ridiculous counter statement about the same point to assert your individuality or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, like what? Why didn't you just see? You're just saying what I'm saying. Eisenhower knew that this fucking session would be taught in college. After lockdown, Bob Rule.
Exactly.
So he wanted to be in there. and be heard, because it was the only archive worth being in, the only medium worth it. Isn't that what you're trying to say?
Yes, I dropped in the thought that so in the future Eisenhower will accomplish this. He will be known even more for that quote, because he will be known for the detail he provided to you in the recording through ION. And now we're listening to it,
right.
And at some point in the future there will be a headline where everybody knows that Eisenhower came back and provided more detail.
And what's the headline?
Eisenhower, I don't know. Eisenhower provides more detail to famous quotes, you know? But it's not developed enough. I just got on the line, Bob, so I never should have said a word. You're absolutely
right. That should not be a factor. You should be always ready to think clearly.
I know.
I'm not going to say anything coherent for another 3 hours. I just got up. give me a couple hours, and I'll be able to say a few. I'll remember what the
Let
purpose
me get
of speaking
in the flow
is.
Here for a couple minutes.
What do you mean? Get in the phone? You want to get on the phone?
The flow.
Of course. You're not on the phone, right?
I need to get in the flow, Bob. The flow.
Oh, flow, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, really? Now try again. What were you adding to what I said?
Oh, God, please don't make me say it again.
Well, hey, Eliza, you get my point, right?
I do, but I think Gene desperately wants to drop the conversation, drop the topic.
Well, I find she always screws up. She doesn't know how to get to a point.
I don't.
See, something got disconnected.
You know I don't always screw up, Bob. You know I don't always.
Well, it seems to be quite frequent.
How much I've improved in the last couple of years. I was a
bad Yeah, that's another point. How bad you were. It maybe
Ion. Yes.
I don't know if you got bad before Ion.
It's the reason I kept calling in. It's the reason why I kept wanting to get bashed by you and critiqued, Bob, because I knew I needed your help big time.
See, you got some kind of requirement of a core belief, and your core belief was destroyed by Ion, and you're trying to find out a core belief that is the grid for your subsequent thinking, and you never quite got it clear what the core grid would be.
I'm trying to exist without any core belief. That's how Ion screwed me up.
Yes.
You can't.
You don't know how to do it. You should just have a different core belief. Why reject all of it?
Well, because I don't want to hold on to anything. I get this feeling of not holding on to anything, because I held on to that, what you refer to as a core belief, for so long.
Okay.
That
so you don't have a core belief anymore. That's why you're thinking, you have no base. You don't have some
right.
rules. You don't have a couple of facts that you can fall back on. Since you don't want to have any facts, you're always in mid-sentence, no matter what the topic is. Always in mid-paragraph. And you aren't trying to get to the ending, because it can't be an ending, because you don't have a point of view. So, yeah, your problem is you're always in the middle. The middle
that's,
of the sentence.
That's interesting, yeah. My life is actually, my physical environment is reflecting that as well. Yeah, I am erasing some very strong beliefs as I discover them, because they don't serve me anymore. And it's,
right.
In the last couple of years, these things have come up where it's like, you know, that didn't work for you, so get rid of it. And they were pretty deep. The roots were pretty.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that. I'm always mid-paragraph.
Right. Okay, good. All right, so I got to figure out if this is the Evergreens recording. So we leave that on.
Wow.
That's up there, Soundflower. What?
Okay. No, go ahead. I don't want to distract you, Bob. Go ahead.
No, you can.
this has been this has been analysis, payday analysis for the last week or so. Let's see, who was before Roxy? Oh, I heard Ion break down Bart's relationship.
Bart.
And then
so you're calling analysis like you mean on the couch, psychiatric couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. What did we do? Who did we do last week?
Well, what was it? Was it last Tuesday? Well,
Bert?
Mary McLuhan.
We do Bert?
First it was Mary McLuhan, and then Tuesday on the What Youth, was it last Tuesday that we spent a lot of time
you
on
were talking
Sarah
to
Island?
Linda.
And Linda?
Oh, yeah, Linda. Yeah. Yeah. So, Mary McLuhan, but that wasn't a week ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago, or was it last week? No, Mary wasn't last
week.
No,
it was like
week.
Two
we
weeks
talked
ago.
About it.
Okay,
yeah,
so Mary was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, she didn't come back. Yeah,
then,
she didn't come back, so that would have been 2 weeks.
That was followed up with Sarah on What Youth. That was
right.
Pretty analytical. You know,
okay, so what you're saying, the pattern is people are getting private sessions.
Yes, actually.
Yeah, they're getting long stretches with Ion, with personal matters.
And
Bob, did you know that Ion was going to do that tonight?
No. Nope. Really didn't know. I didn't know what he was going to do. But as he started to do it, I said, well, I guess this is what he wants to do tonight. This is to make it different. This is going to be different. Okay, let me see if I can get that.
The following is a recording of a session given by the Evergreens.
So I will move it forward and get into it.
Industrial complex in its drive to proviso, he adds. What he's
insinuation of what you term
he had to be identified by that name, not all of the other names that this individual has.
Locate Dr. Peter Beard.
He had proviso, he adds.
Continuation of.
Locate Dr. Peter Beard.
D-E-T-E-R. Okay. That's where we would start. Locating Dr. Beter. He's the first. Okay, so.
Yes.
Locate Dr. Peter Beard. D-E-T-E-R.
So without the long introduction, probably I said, okay, we're going to have a panel. What happens is that, and this is April 18th, 1995, my second session. I did three sessions that day where I would give the names to Ellie. So I gave Marshall McLuhan, Marshall Duchamp, Krishnamurti, and Dr. Beter, those four names with some locating information, like their birth date or something. So she would, before the session, locate them. That takes a little while. And then once we had them all there, then she'd say, go ahead, Bob. So I would go away. I started off with Dr. Beter because, well, they're all dead at that point. I don't know why I picked Beter. Okay, so we just put that right there. So, we're all ready? I'll mute everybody. Mute.
All participants are now muted.
And this is going to be over an hour long. Okay, so I think we're ready.
Locating
Dr. Peter Beter,
B-E-T-E-R, from
1921
to 1987, his
lifespan
approximately,
and
he was in Maryland.
One
moment.
Begins with B.
Bethesda,
Maryland? No. Bethesda, yes. He died in Bethesda, Maryland.
One moment.
March 14th.
Name again?
Peter Beter.
Yes, we have this one.
Now, was it hard to get him because he wasn't part of the gathering circle?
No, he had to be identified by that name, not all of the other names that this individual has had through all of his existences.
he was already there ready to be talked to.
Yes.
But you had to figure out who he was in this as Dr. Beter.
Yes.
I see. Dr. Beter, thinking of your, with the content of your tapes in mind and the terms used, is the recent Republican majority in Congress a continuation of what you termed the Bolshevik takeover of the bureaucracy of Washington and decreasing the influence of the Rockefellers in American politics or in America power structures? Is the Newt Gingrich revolution a continuation of what you call the conservative Bolshevik state socialists?
He says, yes, but there's a proviso, he adds. What he says is, the Bolshevik socialist as exhibited by the power structures of the banking institution and the military industrial complex in its drive to homogenize its power structure, that this has a tendency to continue, but through Gingrich is more of a thrust to the other direction, in that the thrust towards social is not as strong from the Republican as it would be from the Democratic. And that because of this, there's a return to individualism, which is, by its definition, different than the Bolshevik social thrust of centralism. That there are aspects of Gingrich which point towards centralism, but much of what Gingrich is thrusting towards is a breaking of the homogenies. He says the word homogenies, he means
hegemony? Collectivism.
Collectivism.
The word hegemony?
Hegemony, yes.
Or homogeneous.
Hegemony is the
word. Oh, hegemony.
Hegemony, yes. That the hegemony of power politics, as expressed by military-industrial complex, the lobbyists, and the like, for he says these are complexes.
Right. Let me use some of his terms, and maybe he can clarify. The Rockefeller faction he called the corporate socialists or the corporate collectivists, as opposed to the state socialists who were Pentagon military. In those terms, is Gingrich working for the Rockefeller motives, the Rockefeller world order design, stressing corporate collectivism rather than state collectivism, or is the new electric computerized environment creating individualism beyond either collectivist gang's effort to control them?
And what he sees is, he says that it is a tendency towards the Rockefeller phenomena, but the underpinnings of this are being broken away by what Beter says is a collective individualism. That not that only the distrust of politicians, but the thrust towards more modern word, empowerment of the individual is more of the Gingrich phenomena. And the Gingrich can read this and reads it well. But what Beda points towards is, if you would look at the government as a complex that has risen because of a failure of certain other complexes, and that government itself is now pulling itself apart. The governing of America is evolving to local government, i.e. state government, as opposed to the centralist mess of Washington. So therefore, he says it will go through the phase of 52-card pickup, where power will be sought, but where can power be found? That's his argument at present. Where can power be found if there is no collectivenesses, hegemonies, that survive?
Right, so that both the Rockefeller collectivist tradition
is falling apart.
And the Bolshevik military collectivist tradition has fallen
falling apart.
So Dr. Beder would support Gingrich's thrust.
Yes.
Because it does break apart the old battle.
Yes.
Between the two collectivist groupings.
Yes. He says it's a pity about term limits. Nonetheless, that's next.
That will happen. We will have term limits.
Yes.
And do the Evergreens or Dr. Beder see that Clinton definitely will lose, or is that still up in the air?
No, Clinton definitely loses.
And will be a Republican president.
A Republican president, yes.
Can you say who it'll be?
Graham.
Graham will be president?
Yes.
Is Dr. Beder saying that?
Yes. So were others.
Would the Evergreens agree?
Yes.
Will he be assisted by Powell? What's his name? Colin Powell?
No, there's another one in there. We don't have the name, but Powell is clever. Powell is not going to get caught in anything yet. No, there is another in here. But you see, the point that Beder stresses is that Graham is essentially a numbers man, while prior there has been power men, and the power men are becoming essentially within the question of where can you get power is becoming incestuous, he says. Power in Washington is power in Washington, but does not hold any power in Nebraska.
Right.
Nebraska
yeah.
goes its own way, and more the states go their own way. So therefore, it's a numbers man that is necessary for the country as a whole to work on numbers, not necessarily disbursement of power, because the power structure is failing rapidly.
Numbers, you mean by the number of votes or number of supporting?
The numbers of the budget, the numbers of the tax situation, that through Graham, the Beder points here that he calls this a Bolshevik army of tax collectors. You see?
Yes.
And says that is a power structure in itself, contrary to the Constitution of the United States, if seen from the perspective that there must not be a unfederal law enforcement agency, and that Graham and others pull down that structure that the devolving of power